بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Today is the 17th of January in the year 2021. And alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 12th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf. And I've reached verse 32 of the blessed Surah. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 39. So verse 32. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Set forth to them the parable of the two men. For one of them we provided two gardens of grapevines and surrounded them with dead palms. In between the two we placed cornfields. Verse 33, each of those gardens brought forth his produce and failed not in the least therein. In the midst of them, we caused a river to flow. Verse 34, and he had thamar. He said to his companion in the course of a mutual argument, more wealth have I than you, and more honor and power in men. So here, in these next sequence of verses, Allah the Almighty and Glorious is mentioning a parable of two men. Now, they both had orchards. And in verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that between the two, there was cornfields. So they were adjacent to each other, but there was cornfields in between the two. And in verse 33, it mentions that there was a river which irrigated it. So you get this image that it was a huge plantation and there was two owners of the various orchards. But then in verse 34, it mentions that the one who had a larger, apparently larger plantation, he had an argument with the other one who owned a smaller plantation. And during the argument in verse 34, the man who had more, he said, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. More wealth have I than you, and more honor and power in men. So one was purse proud and forgot that what he had was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of a trust and trial in this life. The other boasted of nothing. His trust was only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now what's interesting, they had an argument. Allah ta'ala doesn't mention why they had an argument. There's no details about that. But when they had the argument, the one who had a larger plantation, what did he say? Allah ta'ala quotes him now. More wealth have I than you, and more honor and power in men. So, the two men begin to compare notes. The arrogant one, puffed up with his possessions, his income and his large family and following, and thought in his self-complacency that it would last forever. He was also wrong in looking down on his companion, who, although less affluent, was better of the two. So now, there's a report. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this portion of verse 34. Ana aktharu minka mala wa azzu nafara. More wealth have I than you, and more honor and power in men. He explained, this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wish of the immoral, that is to have a lot of wealth and a large entourage. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious quotes him. And what two things does he boast about? He says, I've got more money than you, and I've got a greater following. Qatada says, this is the sign of the stupid person, the one who's got no guidance, because that is what they always look up to. I've got more money, and I've got a greater following. So Allah Ta'ala quotes that. Why? Because he's warning us. He goes, do not be like those people, or like this person. Now what's interesting, there's another passage of the Quran. So this passage, well, I'll give you the report when we go to the verse. So the report mentions, the hadith is recorded by Shaykh al-Hadith in Fazail al-Sadaqa, page 163 of the English translation. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, guard yourself against sins. For a man commits such sins as would create evil effects, causing a loss of a part of his knowledge, so that he is unable to remember what he has just learned. Some sins lead to the failure to observe the Hajjat Salat. And owing to other sins, one is deprived of the income he is destined to receive. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recited these verses, which I won't go through, but you can read in your own time. Surah Al-Qalam, Surah 68, verse 19 onwards. Then the Shaykh said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these people were deprived. Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Khandalwi then added, rahmatullah alayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, and he recited Surah 42 verse 30. Surah 42 verse 30, where he mentions, Audhubillahi minashaitanir rajeem, whatever misfortune happens to you is because of the things your hands have brought, and for many he grants forgiveness. So this is the report. So let's break it down. So simply put, he quotes the hadith first. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that sins cause deprivation. So this is something else we need to understand about sins. It's not just you've disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has an effect. And he mentioned three things to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of your sins make you forget what you've learned. And how many times does that happen? You ask a person, what was the talk? Oh, yes, brilliant talk. What? Anything. Well, you should have been there, brother. Sins have made you forget. This is why Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah, his teacher told him, gave him advice. He goes, don't sin. Because knowledge is a nur. Allah Ta'ala grants. Meaning, if you sin, Allah Ta'ala will not allow you to benefit from the knowledge. Just like the Bani Israel, donkeys carrying books. So this is what the first thing, the problem, meaning that's the most destructive. Then he said that, this is fascinating. The second thing, he says, one type of sin or some sins lead to the failure to observe the Hajj. Now think about that. Why don't we offer the Hajj? So a person goes, my iman's weak. Another person goes, well, what it is not fard. Right? Another person goes, what time should I do it? Right? I was asking tricky questions. How many rakats? The reason you're not offering tahajjud is because you're sinning. Now, what's interesting? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, tahajjud is a gift that Allah Ta'ala gives to the honorable. He goes, he chains the sinners. Now think about that. Are you physically chained? No. So why aren't you offering tahajjud? And the response is, you're a sinner. Tahajjud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Bayhaqi Sahih Hadith, the ashraf of my ummah, the honorable ones of my ummah, are the qariyas of the Quran and the companions of the night. So the Prophet mentioned, these are the lords and dames of my ummah. Those who carry the Quran, meaning they understand the Quran, they try to live accordingly. And the companions of the night. Who are the companions of the night? The ones who jive in discourse, right? It's tahajjud. So who are the ashraf? Why are we ashraf? The Prophet is telling you, you should be ashraf. You should be a lord. You should be a dame. The Prophet said it. Sins prevent you from tahajjud. Then what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, and owing to other sins, one is deprived of his rizq, which he should receive. You've been kicked when it hurts. Allah Ta'ala wants to give you something. Now, rizq doesn't just mean money. People are so thick, right? They think money is rizq. Wake up, brother, right? That's probably about 0.1% of rizq. Rizq can be translated into blessings. So you could be deprived of, for instance, your health. You could be deprived of children. You could be deprived of, you know, and it goes on and on. Even in your transport, something could happen to you because of the sins you're committing. So what was the Prophet telling you about sins? There is no goodness in it. People think, oh, no, I'll do Salat al-Tasbih afterwards. But the effects have taken place. It doesn't matter if you, what you do after that. You committed the sin. The effects still remain. The sin's gone, yes, by the grace and mercy, but the effects have remained. The only way to stop the impact is to stop sinning. Then look how interesting. The Prophet then recited these verses. Which verses? Surah 68, verse 19 onwards. And in a nutshell, without going too much into it, these verses in Surah Al-Qalam talks about a righteous man. He had an orchard. And he would always set aside a part of the harvest for the poor. When the sons took over, they thought their father was stupid. Because why is he leaving that bit? We're going to keep it. Then what happened? Read the verses. Allah Ta'ala deprived them. That's why the Prophet recited, explained sins. They thought his father was foolish because of goodness. And what's interesting about that? The Prophet explained this as well. The Prophet said in Ibn Abi Dunya, Hayat al-Sahaba, many appear to be humiliating themselves, but they are actually being generous to themselves. Look how the Prophet is explaining, but people aren't, you know, haven't got time to listen, right? So what does that mean? Many appear to, they thought their father was stupid. Why has he set aside a fraction of his orchard, his harvest? That's ours. They thought they were clever. So Allah Ta'ala wiped them out. But there's more to it than that. So note, the Prophet also said about sadaqah in Sahih Muslim, I swear an oath that sadaqah never decreases wealth. Meaning, you're thinking the Prophet's lying to you when you think otherwise. What's that? That's kufr. Right? So here, note again what's being mentioned. And then the Shaykh, this is not part of the hadith, the Shaykh then recited the verse, Surah 42, verse 30. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Fasad emerges on the land because of your sins. Allah Ta'ala tells you that in the Quran. Fasad has emerged on land and sea because of your sins. What's the fasad? You're causing effects, ripple effects. But then he goes, he forgives much, meaning most of the sins he forgives, even without you seeking forgiveness. So now, why have I mentioned this here? Because look how interesting, identically. One of the men, one of the one who owns the orchard, he's boasting. He's, I'm better than you. I've got more produce and I've got more entourage. Oh dear, he's triggered something. Notice again, Allah Ta'ala is explaining himself in other passages of the Quran. So, verse 35, he went into his garden in a state unjust to his soul. He said, I deem not that this will ever perish. It was not the wealth that ruined him, but the attitude of his mind. He was unjust, not so much to his neighbor, but to his own soul. In his love of material, he forgot or openly defied the spiritual. So look what he says. He went into his so-called, you know, this is, I've got more than you. And the Quran says, he was in a state, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Look at the words that Allah is using. He's a zalim. But who is he an oppressor to? Himself. What an idiot. If somebody goes to you, who's the greatest oppressor? Fir'aun. You mentioned these, you know, tyrants. He goes, no, it's you, brother. And he goes, Astaghfirullah, brother. You're calling me worse than Fir'aun? Right? Because you're cracked. And he goes, why? Because you're a zalim to yourself. And then he goes, how the heck am I a zalim to myself? Zulm is to others. Yeah? You do it to yourself. He goes, where's the proof? Read Quran. Right? Allah Ta'ala goes, he was a zalim to himself. What's he doing? Allah Ta'ala goes, he's triggered something. He's now causing harm to himself. He doesn't realize what he's doing. And what does he say? Look, he goes into his orchard. And what does he say? Ma azunnu an tabira hadihi abada. I don't think this will ever be destroyed. This is here for good. It'll keep on producing year after year. Right? Year after year. Like people, you know, they go to that dulul and stay. This will be here for generations. Verse 36, then what does he say? Nor do I deem that the hour will ever arrive. Even if I am brought back to my Lord, I shall surely find something better in exchange. Astaghfirullah. Here comes the grasping spirit of the materialist. In his mind, better means more wealth, more power of the kind he was enjoying in this life. Now look at how shocking the statements he's making. Is he an unbeliever? What does he say? I don't think the hour will arrive. That's kufr. Allah Ta'ala quotes him. I don't think the hour will arrive. And then look what he says in his arrogance. Even if it does, and I get resurrected, I'll still be better than you. Because God loves me. He's giving me more. Now what's interesting about that? You've got to look at two other passages of the Quran, which explains this sickness. So in Surah Maryam, the next Surah, Surah 19 verse 77. Again, I'm not going to go into any great detail. But in Surah 19 verse 77, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, I'll give you the hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Ahmad. There was a companion called Khabbab, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, one of the early companions. He was severely tortured in his early period. They would drag him on coals, and the blood and the pus of his bike would put out the fire. And his bike was like white paper. So this companion, he was a blacksmith. So he was a slave. And he would give a part of his earnings to his mistress. So what happened was, there was a chieftain of the Quraysh. His name was As ibn Wa'il. So his son is famous, Amr ibn al-As. But this is the father, chieftain of the Quraysh. And As, he owes a debt to Khabbab. Think about that. You got a chief, and he owes a debt to this slave, Khabbab. So Khabbab, you know, he wants his money. So he goes to the chief. And As looks at him and laughs. And he says to him, I'm never going to give it to you until you reject Muhammad. Meaning, I know you're a Muslim. And your debt's gone. The only way you're going to get it out of me, if you go back to what we believe. Khabbab replies, I will never disbelieve in Muhammad. Then look what he says, something very interesting. Even if you die and are raised to life again, I will never disbelieve in him. Now, why did he say that? Because they don't believe in Qiyamah. Because you have warnings. Have a good one. Like the unbelievers say, you've only got one life, right? This is all kufr. So Khabbab jabbed him. He goes, even when you come back to life, I'm still not going to disbelieve in him. Meaning, you don't even believe that. Forget about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So As, he gets very angry. And he says to Khabbab, when I eventually die and am brought back to life again, I will still have plenty of money and children. Then, and only then, I'll pay back your debt. Upon this, Allah Ta'ala revealed these four verses. Surah Maryam, Surah 19, verse 77 to 80. So let's look at the translation. Have you not seen the man who rejects our signs? Yet he says, I shall certainly be given wealth and children. Has he penetrated the unseen, or has he taken a contract with Ar-Rahman? Never. We shall record what he says, and we shall add and add to his punishment. To us shall all return, all that he speaks of, and he shall appear to us bare and all alone. So Allah Ta'ala got so angry with that. He goes, he's going to have nothing. He's going to be naked. I've heard what he said. He's coming back to me, and I'm going to give him a punishment and another punishment. Now, why have I mentioned this here? What does this man say? He says the same thing. It's an old kufr. What does he say? Nor do I deem the hour will ever come. And even if I am brought back to my Lord, I shall find something better. I'll still be better than you. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, people don't change. Same game, different players. You will always have the Firauns. They'll have different names. You'll always have the Qaruns, different names. You'll always have, etc. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just mention them. Oh, that's interesting, Firaun. You'll always get them. Right? So Allah Ta'ala is telling me in the Quran, history, and then history to us again. But to the Prophet, it was current. As ibn Wa'il, he died in unbelief. Allah Ta'ala condemned him. Khabbab was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did he think? I'm better than you. I'm a master, you'll still be a slave on the day of judgment, even if I do come back to life. And that's what the kuffar said to you now. You'll give them Dawud, what happens? Even if there is a day of judgment, and I do come back to life, I'll still be better than you, because God blows me. And they go back to their wealth, go back to the verses. What did the man say when he got angry? He goes, more wealth have I than you, more following than you. I've got greater following. What's interesting? You got the phones now. What do they say? How many followers? You think it's subhanAllah, right? You know, you made it on, you put it on the phone. I've got a million followers. What you got? I don't know, I've got a phone. Right? And you go, there you go. You know, read Quran. Shaitan's playing with people. Don't even know that. Because you're not studying the Quran. I've got better things to do, brother. Carry on then, innit? MashaAllah. Make another orchard. Also, you're going to turn to another passage. In Surah Alaq, Surah 96, verse 6 and 7. So in Surah 96, the first surah to be revealed, which is very interesting. Surah 96, verse 6 and 7. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah inna al-insana layatagha ar-ra'ahu staghna. No, but man does transgress all bounds in that he looks upon himself as self-sufficient. Astaghfirullah. So Allah Ta'ala says, Qalla means, he swears an oath. No, man transgresses all bounds because he is an ultimate transgressor. Why? He tells you why. He thinks he is independent. Now, what did the Prophet say about this verse? Oh, Ibn Mas'ud. In Darimi, in his Sunan, number 344, Mishkat, the Prophet, oh, Ibn Mas'ud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, they are two greedy men. They can never be satisfied. The man of knowledge and the man of the world, but they are not the same. As for the man of knowledge, he increases the pleasure of the Most Merciful. As for the man of the world, he gives himself up to transgression. Then the Prophet recited these two verses. Then he added, certainly of his servants, the learned fear Allah. Surah 35 verse 28. So let's look at this. So the Prophet said, there's only two camps. There's no third camp. There's no fourth. You belong to one of them. He goes, there's talibul dunya and talibul ilm. So the talibul ilm, what did the Prophet say about him? He goes, he's always getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. That's his life. He learns, he gets closer. He learns, he gets closer. He's always pleasing Allah Ta'ala. The man of the world, look what the Prophet said. He gives himself up to transgression. He's doomed. He's literally said, I'm my own man. People go, what's the dunya? Take a bit of dunya. It's okay. Take a bit of your dunya. MashaAllah, take it. Right? Next minute, what's happening? He's in Bahamas with speedos on. Right? Right? So, there you go. Talibud dunya. So, the Prophet then recited these two verses. He becomes self-sufficient. He thinks he now doesn't need God. God needs me. Like the Jews said, we are rich. God is poor. What made them into that mindset? They thought, because they have given the world, so they thought they're self-sufficient. Look at Qarun. Qarun was destroyed. Why? Because of his wealth. You can go to Surah Qasas to read his narrative. And then look what the Prophet recited. Certainly of his servants, it is the learned who fear Allah. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, it's those with knowledge who fear me. Those who learn. Surah 35, verse 28. So now question. These two people who own the orchards, one was Talib al-Dunya. You can clearly see it. What was he now showing? What was manifesting from him? That kufr, which Allah Ta'ala warned you about. The other one, he's keeping quiet. Notice Allah Ta'ala is only quoting the shaitan here. Verse 37. His companion said to him, now Allah Ta'ala turns to the righteous. His companion said to him in the course of the argument with him, do you deny him who created you out of dust, then out of a sperm drop, then fashioned you into a man? Look at that for an argument. So you go to any Dajjal, Pharaoh, Haman, Qarun, whatever their names. And then in the office, you know, you see, you know, skyscrapers. Look at them, look at my kingdom, right? MashaAllah. So what do you say to them? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Do you deny him who created you out of dust? Then out of a sperm drop, then made you into a man. Do you do it like this? Think about that. No matter who's sitting behind that desk, wasn't he a sperm drop? Imagine, at that point, what was he? What was his worth? How much? Imagine it. What are you worth, brother? You're dust. I'm worth millions. Right? He was a sperm drop. And even if he was a Muslim, imagine, when we were, we caused our mother and father to have a bath. That's how much you're worth. Imagine it. One morning, our mother and father got up because of us to have a bath. What are you worth? Have you forgot that? Allah Ta'ala goes, I created you from dust, then from a sperm drop. Then you became a man. So why is that man telling, the righteous telling him that? Because you've deluded. How are you independent? Have you forgot your origin? And what's interesting about this verse, in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 1, page 146, Thabit Bunani recited this verse in Tahajjud, weeping all the time. He couldn't get past this verse. So imagine, the great Thabit Bunani, the servant of Anas, he was just reciting this Tahajjud all night. أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Do you deny him who created you of dust, then out of a sperm drop, then fashioned you into a man? He just kept going. Because he was fearful of this verse. Because how can you deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You was nothing. Allah ta'ala willed you into existence. And you're denying it. And who is Allah Ta'ala quoting? This righteous man. Look how beautiful. The righteous, the one with the orchard, the smaller orchard. He goes, are you going into denial? Astaghfirullah, kufr. And what do we know about Thabit Bunani? So this person who recited this verse all night. And look how tragic. We read Surah Al-Kahf and we fly through it. There's a lesson there. He's reading one verse, part of one verse, all night. Not Friday, all night. This is how much he loved this surah. And we're going, hey, get it on Friday, get it. There you go. Abdullah ibn Masud said, you should never have that mindset. Don't treat the Quran like old dates you quickly want to get through. He goes, relish the Quran. Relish it. It's not for you to go to what my people say. How many khatams do you do? I don't know. How many khatams do you do? Why are you so interested about my khatams? Right? My life's gonna become khatam. Let's talk about don't talk about that. We're talking about khatam of Quran. How many do you in Ramadan? You do 5, 6? Don't know, brother. But I went through one subhanah with understanding. I don't know what you're trying to do. Trying to take off. Right? Where do you want to go with the khatams? Right, so here, Thabit Bunani, let me mention a bit about him. Thabit Bunani was the servant of Anas, the servant of the Prophet. So he's kind of the grandson of the Prophet in terms of servitude. Thabit Bunani, he loved Salat too much. He goes, for 20 years I struggled with my Salat. And then for the next 20 years, I enjoyed it. Hafiz Zahabi in his seer, so he's teaching you something. He goes, it's not easy to get enjoyment out of Salat. You have to struggle. But then he goes, after the struggle, I enjoyed it. He loves Salat too much. What happened? In Ahmad, in his Zuhud, he made dua. He goes, oh my Lord, if you've allowed anybody to pray in their graves, allow me to pray in my grave. When he died, he was put into a lahd. So 6 were under, moved to the side towards the Qibla, bricks were placed. Somebody left their ring inside. He asked the authorities, he goes, yes, respectfully, you can dig the grave and take the ring out. So as he dug down, he took the brick away, he looked inside, Thabit's praying Salat. And then, so Allah Ta'ala answered his dua. He loved Salat so much, he thought death is going to stop me from Salat. Normal attitude, can't wait for death. Why? Because no more Salat. Right? He's saying, Ya Allah, you're going to deprive me of Salat. Please, let me keep praying. Make that dua, brother. Which one of us is going to make that dua now? Ya Allah. He's thinking, I don't know about that one. Right? He goes, there you go, innit? Because Salat hasn't got a place in your heart. You're looking forward to hoodies. Right? So he's praying now, imagine. This very moment he's praying in his grave. What are you going to be doing in your grave? Right? So Thabit Bunani praying in his grave. All the prophets are praying in their graves. Sahih Hadith, Mutawatir Abu Ya'la. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Prophet are alive in their graves and they are praying. Mutawatir Hadith. You deny that, you're out of Islam. Why are they praying him? Because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at us. Did you pray Fajr? Well, I heard Allah and fell asleep again. Good lad. Right? So Thabit Bunani in Tahajjud. Now you get a glimpse. He just couldn't get past this verse. Why? He loves Salat too much. He loved the Quran too much. Look how he's combined the two honorable things. the Qariyas of the Quran and the companions of the night, they're the Ashraf. Wasn't he Ashraf? That the fact that we're still talking about him. Rahmatullah alayh. Verse 38. But I think for my part that he is Allah, my Lord, and none shall I associate with my Lord. So he's telling his friend, he goes, I will never deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will never associate partners with him. Verse 39. Why did you not go? Why did you not, as you go into your garden, say, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. If you do see me less than you in wealth and sons. He's giving him dawat. He goes, when you entered your orchard, why didn't you say this? What did he say? So let's go back to what he said. He entered his orchard. Allah Ta'ala quotes the first man. What does he say? He says, Ma azunnu an abida hadihi abada. I deem not that this will ever perish. Wa ma azunnu sa'ata qa'ima. Wa la irruddu ila rabbi la ajidanna khayran minha munqalaba. Nor do I deem that the hour will come. Even if I am brought back to my Lord, I shall surely find something better in exchange. That is how what he said. Look what the righteous said to him. He goes, astaghfirullah. He goes, why didn't you say when you entered your orchard, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, Allah's will be done. There is no power but with Allah. He was trying to protect him. So now just to add a few things here. He said a very famous phrase. So what do we say? Masha Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No problem, you can say that. The Quran says, la quwwata illa billah. If you said, la hawla wa la quwwata, that's from the hadith. Both are fine. Now, what was the righteous man teaching him? This zikr. He knew something about the zikr. What did he know? He knew that this protects. And he also knew you're in trouble. Because Allah, you've caused something to happen. The sin has now activated. But what you should have said to protect what you are so proud of is these words. Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. So what do we know about this? Just to add a few things. The hadith is in Tabarani, Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, Ibn al-Sinni, number 206, Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 5.613. Our beloved messengers reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever sees something and he likes it, and he says, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, then nothing will harm it. So think about that. So you walk out and you see your car and you go, Shaitan will go, well, say something then, say something. So you go, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. The Prophet goes, nothing will harm it. But what happens? You know, you can't help it sometimes. Right, next minute. Right, what's happened here? Oh, brother, I'm brought down. Can you come down? Right? And then you look back. Oh, you've cried, boy. I didn't say, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. Oh, you look in mirror. And Shaitan makes you look very handsome sometimes, you noticed. And you go, my word. Right. I look extremely good. Next minute, COVID, pipe in mouth. Right? Why don't you say, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah? Even more disastrous. You look at your children. And then you go, looks very cute. Oh my God. Don't ever say that. Right? Right? Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. Right? And then people go, oh, my kids, you know, I think she got COVID, right? Baskar with COVID. Right? People doing social distancing and they've been letting shaitan in, aren't they? Yeah, go on, keep letting him in. Social distancing is not going to help you. Right? People study the Quran, you're flipping crackpots, right? People, see you next Ramadan. And where is this zikr? In the surah that protects you from fitna. Where do you think you're going to find it? Surah Quraysh, right? It's in the surah that protects you from fitna. Look at how powerful these words are. This is why I'm going to mention it next week, the evil eye. The evil eye will destroy you. Why? Because you don't realize. And what's shocking, you can do it to yourself. People think, no, I'll do it to everybody else. I'll beam everybody else. First of all, how do you know your beam's working on anybody else? And secondly, it's not something to be proud of. It's not a good deed, is it? Right, and thirdly, you're probably doing it to yourself. Astaghfirullah. So I'll recite the verse. We will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا ولولا إذ دخلت جنة قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa bihamdika rabbil alamin, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sabaqallahu al-azim.